Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again for Health Talks with Dr. Trim. The one show, the only show that shows you the path to a healthier life and a way of helping yourself and others. As we continue our trip around the world today, Dr. Trim, what are you doing? Are we covering all the countries in Eastern Europe today here?
All right.
Here we go. How are you,
everybody? Awesome. We are live.
OC Talk Radio. Welcome to everybody. So let's give us the introduction. Who'd you bring in today and what are we talking about today? We seem to be moving throughout Eastern Europe.
Yes. Last week we had a chat and sent Jerry Husson to Ukraine on OC Talk Radio. Today we have Louis Jonas who is here with us. Louis is actually the president of Tongue Out and he has his own trips coming up here. Louis, tell us what you're planning.
Well, first of all, what an honor to represent such a great organization as to be the hands and feet Tongue Out throughout the Eastern world is just overwhelming and amazing. As you know, Doc, we are on our way to embark on a trip leaving May the 20th and coming back on June the 2nd to Albania, of all places.
Where is Albania? What is that, Europe?
It certainly is. If you're able to see where exactly it is not too far overlooking the ocean to Italy. And you have other surrounding countries like Macedonia, like Greece.
Okay. What's going on in Albania? What's your plan? What's the agenda?
Well, that's a very interesting question. One of the unique things about Albania, it is the only country in the world that under its constitution was considered atheist. Their constitution, they were an atheist country. Their history has been repleted with countries invading them from the Ottoman Empire to many other European countries, Russia, Germany. But I can tell you this, for those who are thinking in the future of traveling to Albania, it is one of the most incredible, friendliest, hospitable places in the world that I have visited. So they will welcome Americans with an open arm.
Albania for a long time was one of the last of the communist countries. When all the others fell, Yugoslavia and everything else in Eastern Europe, Albania hung on here for a long time. But it's not a communist country anymore, right?
No, it's not. They certainly got liberated in the 90s. They got rid of that regime. And again, like I said, they are very, very open to tourism and they love Americans. What's interesting about Albania is the population right now is about 3 million strong. But yet it is amazing that it is one of the countries of the world where at least 10,000 or actually 10 million of their citizens live in other countries.
Wow. So it's a giant diaspora, as they say. It's a place where people have left.
Yes. And spread out through Italy, Greece, Kosovo, Macedonia, Montenegro. Many people have settled here in the United States and also in Canada.
Kosovo was in the news. Was it the 90s? The 90s, it must have been when they broke away from, what was it, Serbia?
Yeah, that is correct.
And because they were mostly Albanians. And when the Serbs, when Yugoslavia split apart into Serbia and all these others, they said, well, we want to split apart from you. We want to be our own thing. And there was a whole conflict there, and the Serbians bombed them and all that. So the Albanians, the poor Albanians have been run over and run out all over the place there.
Yes, that is so true.
So is it still, why would their constitution still say they're an atheist country if they're not a communist country? I get it if they're a communist country because communism doesn't believe in God, but according to Karl Marx, that was all just nonsense. But why would they carry that over and continue that if they're no longer a communist country?
Well, I can tell you this, it may be written still on paper, but when you visit there, the people do not exemplify by their actions that they are a communist country at all. So there is, last September, when we sort of visited Albania to see exactly the kind of response and overview that we will get from visiting, we were actually impressed and shocked. As I mentioned earlier in my conversation, that they're one of the most hospitable people in the world. And yet, they're one of the poorest countries in the world. So it is amazing to see that although they have had that past history, that today they are liberated people, that they are people that are free, and they're able to exemplify it by their actions and their behavior.
So what, Dr. Trinh, when Trung Out tries to figure out where do we go next, you just spin a globe and then stick a pin wherever it pops
Absolutely.
Up here?
Absolutely. We like, you know, put these things on and
throw a dart and then see what you hit on the map. Because Albania wouldn't show up on most people's radar. Albania is not one. It is a small country. It is a place that's kind of overlooked, overrun, overwhelmed with problems. Not necessarily in the news very often. And there are lots and lots of little countries around there now. Maybe I shouldn't say little, but, you know, as all of that area splintered and split up after the fall of Yugoslavia, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, all these places, I don't think most Americans even really could name them all on a map.
Paul, that is so true. It is a hidden gem. One of the things that I mentioned, that as incredible as the people are, it is a very safe country. The beaches along the Riviera are gorgeous. And not only the beaches are fantastic, but Albania in itself for tourism is very, very affordable. The food, incredible and delicious. From the summer stew to the appetizing yogurt and the pies and the desserts.
So you make it a good case to go visit there. Why is Tongue?
I'm telling you, every component that is very essential in tourism, meaning accommodation, meaning hospitality, meaning the food that you eat, the places that you visit, it is very appealing. It makes you want to go back again, like we are representing Tongue Out in this particular case.
So why do they need Tongue Out there? It sounds like a pretty place. It sounds like they've liberated themselves. Why is Tongue Out heading there, and what are you going to do there?
Well, one of the things that has always been prevailing about the organization is the fact that wherever you go, everybody needs medical treatment. And in countries like this, you have even mentioned it, is the fact that it is a place that not too many people notice. So you have needs that are unmet. And we believe with the Tongue Out Medical Group, we're able to do quite a bit of benevolent work in that area, like we're doing in Vietnam, like we're doing in Mexico, like we're doing in Peru, and as we have previously done in Haiti.
So compare it to some of those places. It has the potential for a tourism, but I don't think it has a thriving tourism market right now. I don't think most people are heading to Albania. And so are the coastal areas built up? Are there big cities there? Or is it still a rural country? And maybe it's both. I don't know.
It certainly is both, which happens to be the capital is a very thriving city. Korcha is another thriving city there, very metropolitan, but you also have rural areas where the need is certainly greater. And obviously the outreaches will be focused on reaching those areas.
Because you mentioned it, and that's my perception of it. I don't know that it seems like it's still a pretty poor country. If you looked at all those surrounding areas.
Are they part of the EU or are they part of NATO? Or
no, they're
not. Just kind of isolated on their own?
They are isolated on their own, Dr. Iggy. But again, it is a country that their language is so unique to their own. They're very loving, very proudful people in a good way. You know, you can have pride in a negative way, but they love their people. They love their country. And I think people that visit there and get the opportunity to do so leave there with those very same strong feelings.
Well, we're going to put you on the Albanian tourism board here because they certainly need to get some notice and some tourists coming through there. All right. So what brought it to your radar? How did Tongue Out discover and decide on Little Albania?
Well, that is pretty interesting. My relationship with Dr. Trin goes all the way back to maybe 15, 17 years when we used to collaborate together in kilometer 33, Juarez, Mexico. So
what was kilometer 30? You got to, when you throw that out, you got to explain it. What the heck is that?
It's interesting. The actual city in Juarez, Mexico was called kilometer 33. And it was because it was an indigenous place. Let's see if the doc remember. What was the name of the tribe that we used to service there?
We used to do medical missions work to a tribe called the Talahumara Indians.
The Huda Wada Wada?
The Talahumara Indians. This was back in like 2007. And so we were doing, just medical missions work to the Talahumara Indians who live in the same city as the Mexican cartels of Juarez, Mexico.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were doing kind of missions work back then, just medical care and all that. And these were Indians who, like, I guess maybe like American Indians or Indians anywhere in the world, they were isolated, ostracized,
yes,
and basically ignored by the government. Right. And so they were put in this little kilometer 33 area.
Didn't even give it a name, just said, we're going to 33 kilometers from something. Yeah. That's where you live. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a big community there. They lived in these little huts with no running water. It was pretty crazy. But that was back in 2000. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
All right. So how does kilometer 33 lead to 33,000 kilometers from here in Albania?
Well, I think that what is happening to Tongue Out, I'm pretty sure the doc has shared with you about tremendous opportunities for the organization to go global. And one of the exciting venues that we have in going to Vietnam is collaborating potentially with the Mercy Ship. Everybody knows that is right. The largest floating hospital in the world. And that kind of exposure is just the kind of exposure that Tongue Out Organization, as effective the ministry of physical healing has been to those that are in need of medical care, is going to put us into a higher level recognition for the work, for the great work that the organization has been doing. So these other countries are just doors that are being opened right now. Places that I have had the opportunity, like last year, to travel to: Iraq, Lebanon, Albania, Greece, Mexico, and there are much, much more to come. So right now, it's sort of like a recognizant trip for us. Not necessarily saying that's going to be our footprint, that's going to be our handprint, but potentially everywhere you go, you know, Paul, that the need for medical services is desperately needed.
Oh, you could probably go to 100. I don't know how many countries are in the world, like 140, 120, something. I don't even know. But you could probably go to 100 of those and find places and spaces, including, you know, rural, poor areas here in the United States, I'm sure, too. So I'm still searching. You dodged the question successfully. You took me to Mexico and took me off the question, how in the world did you find Albania? What put that on the radar?
You know, Tongue Out has always collaborated with different organizations throughout their existence. And last year, when I invited to go to Albania, I went out with an organization by the name of Faith Quest. And
they were already there and they said, come and look at what's happening.
No, this was just the beginning of what has become a potential possibility of an organization like Tongue Out to have a footprint and a handprint and a voice in Albania. So what we do is like the military does. We do reconnaissance.
Right. You go out and do a little recon trip and see if it's there.
Yes. But what,
I'm still trying to say who paid attention to. Was this other organization saying, hey, we think this is an area, come look? Or did you know somebody? Or who invites you to go to Albania? You don't just get a phone call one day and say, hi, this is a Pago Pago and we need you here.
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort of several organizations. The principal organization is a organization called Novo, which means anew. And Albania for them was something new. And they invited my good friend, John Gash, who is the president of Faith Quest. And that's how Tongue Out got involved with this great window and great opportunity.
So I don't want to get too religious on this show here, but I know this is partly a faith-based effort. You really believe called to go help people who are overlooked, like the Indians in kilometer 33. This certainly seems to fit that parameter. This is an overlooked country in an overlooked area, probably overlooked by most relief organizations. They focus on the ones in the news. Haiti has an earthquake. Everybody rushes there. Vietnam, Dr. Trinh has a personal connection with. Usually starts with something like that. This is not one I would have expected you guys to pick because there is no connection. There is nothing that puts them in the news. Is that what's appealing about this? It's a forgotten, overlooked area here?
Well, indeed it is. The makeup of Albania from a religious affiliation is you're looking at least 56% Sunni Muslims. About 13 to 14% undeclared, meaning that they have absolutely no interest in any religious organization. You've got about 10% Catholics, and then you got about 6 to 7% that are Orthodox believers. Now, evangelicals like Dr. Trinh and myself, we are 0.14. So there is indeed a need for both of what Tongue Out represent. Focus is always the body, but the body also needs the spirit. So Tongue Out does both.
And you do it, the idea is you come in and you just help, no questions asked, no compensation needed. You need medical help, we're here to help. Stick your tongue out, let's see what you got. And then at some point, because people then start a conversation with you, you have an opportunity just to share. If they ask, you share, but you're not there to necessarily push it in their face and say, here, you got to read this first before I'll treat you.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, Paul, thank you for describing the true gospel. Jesus was never compulsive in his method or in his delivery. It was action in love. And when you see doctors of different persuasions, they don't have to be believers. When they are promulgating love through their service, it is an incredible thing to see, because we all know that doctors that have joined the Tongue Out group are not doing this for a fee for service rendered. They're not getting paid to do this. This is them giving back to the world. And it is seen, it is appreciated, and it is loved by those who the service have been rendered to.
What kind of conversations does it start? You come to my village, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in Albania or Vietnam, where else, and you show up and they're grateful. Somebody's here. We have no service. Do they start asking why are you here and who are you and why are you doing this? Or do they just grateful and no questions? Yeah, whatever, you're here, great, thanks, yeah.
Normally, one of the successes of a successful outreach is you must have boots on the ground. You must have native leading the organization. We are just are going to be the back end of that. We are not the forefront as it always been in the past. But no, what we do, we partner with locals that have a heart for all of the countries that we go into, so that it is through them that these services are rendered.
Tell me some stories of how the people, I'm sure they're grateful because their child is in need. They're in need. Nobody's seen them medically for a long time. Doctors Without Borders does this. Other groups go out and just show up and say, I'm not going to ask for anything. We're just here to help. But I wonder if the conversation goes beyond thank you, if the conversation goes into tell me about who you are and tell me why you're here and tell me what you believe, does that open the door to conversations, or is it simply next, stick your tongue out, next?
Yeah, absolutely. We just recently went to Ensenada, and through an organization called Hugo Ministries, which is more of a construction type of ministry, we partnered in building two homes in very underserved communities. We selected two families, a mother with five kids and a mother with four kids. The male was not around.
Right.
And we didn't go there to save anybody.
Right.
We just went there to construct a home. So that's what we call Jesus in action.
Right.
Okay. So you don't have to necessarily quote a verse in order for people to know who you are. Your examples by your actions determines that. You know,
you're living the faith, you're acting it out, and you're exemplifying what it means to be, in your mind, a follower, a Christian. So so you show people and share people, but do they respond? I'm sure they're grateful, and I'm sure they're happy, and they line up.
Oh, you would not believe how these mothers and these children responded. And by the way, they were so grateful and thankful that they, along the process of actually building these homes from the foundation, were involved in the process and was very grateful and thankful that we came all the way from America, the United States, to do this for them. Words cannot describe. And Dr. Trent has shared some stories about cataract surgeries in Vietnam. The gratitude, the gratefulness, the thankfulness goes beyond any expressive words of how they feel.
You can see the joy. You can see their eyes opening up. Yeah, right.
Yes, absolutely.
So why do you do this? Is it just a calling? Is it an addiction? Once you go there and you see what it is, you say, I got to do more?
You know, I have to make a reference, and the reference is a biblical one.
Okay.
24 hours before the crucifixion, in the upper room, Jesus did something that totally and completely shocked the disciples. Here is their master. Here is their Lord, here is their King, washing their feet. Peter was so outraged that he said, no, no, no. He said, if I cannot do this to you, then you cannot be one of my followers. And the lesson here was, do unto others as I have done unto you. I am just grateful for the opportunity to be a servant for what I believe in. And that's the reason I do what I do. I don't do it for any recognition. I don't do it. I was actually surprised that Dr. Trent would want to consider me to be the president of the Tongue Out Group. I'm honored.
How did he pick you? How did you come to this? You're not a doctor.
You're going to have to ask him that question, because I'm still dumbfounded on why he would select me out of so many other brilliant, willing individuals out there. I don't feel like I am. I just believe in what I believe in, and I believe in the fact that I love people. You know, there is a saying that I hear J.P. Jones, my pastor, say, love God, love people, and have a blast.
There it is. There's the new job requirement right there. Love people.
Yeah.
Love God, have a blast. Right.
While you're doing it, I have such an incredible joy by what I do. And it's not just limited to this, but to so many other things that I'm doing. And
well, give us a quick bio. What did you do? What do you do?
That's pretty interesting, because for 43 years, I worked in sales. Professional sales for major companies in the traffic control safety industry, making equipment, selling equipment, managing dealers, managing salesmen nationally, internationally. And my best year ever while I was still doing all this on the side, okay?
Right.
My best year ever, I leave a manufacturing company that had a lot of the national accounts, like United Rentals, like all of the major suppliers in the industry.
Right.
I go to being vetted by a dealer for 2.5 years. I finally gave in. That dealer was less than $4 million in sales with a margin of only 5%. Wow. They wanted me to come in for 5 years to see what I could do to help them out. Well, in 13 months, I took that company from under $4 million to almost $7 million in sales. Wow. And their margins went from 5% to almost 20%.
Wow.
And the business consultant convinced the owner that I was too highly paid. And that was the lowest revenue stream in the company. So
I'm sorry to laugh, but that seems absurd. You'd have that kind of success and they say, well, he's making too much money.
So to make it short, I got fired. I got fired for the first time in 43 years, having my best year ever.
That's sometimes ever. How it goes. You think I've had experiences like that where I walked in and I thought they were going to pop champagne and instead they showed me the door.
So then I'm walking home. My wife sees me from a distance. She sees that I have an envelope and she looks at me and she says, you got fired, didn't you? I said, I sure did. So what's next? I said, well, I'm going to just take it easy for a while. I got contacted by 3 other companies similar to the one that I left. And every step that I took to go in that direction, God had a different plan for me.
Wow. He said, no, I'm trying. Why are you going this way? Come over here. And you're like, no, this is where I go.
It was like they wanted me, but God said no. So this is where I am today. I am semi-retired in the sense that I am not working for anybody. I do part-time work for the church that I attend to, and they have given me autonomy to go on all of these missional trips that I do. And so it is the best thing that could have ever happened to me. If I wouldn't have gotten fired, I still would be doing that. And maybe I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, you probably would.
So I'm in a perfect place at the perfect time, full of joy, having a blast and loving what I do.
Well, I remember this story from a previous episode we did a long time ago. I think it was on the other show Dr. Trin was doing. And I thought we had to tell that story because what seemed like the worst moment in your life, the most unexpected, unexplainable moment in your life, I'm kicking butt. Why are they kicking me out? All of a sudden turns you down a path that seemed not sustainable, not long lasting. I'll do it for a little while. And here you are still plugging away, still serving.
And Paul, I have to tell you, the best explanation that I heard about the unknown, you know, we call it faith.
Right.
Faith is something that is not tangible. It is not seen. It is the opposite of, okay, show me first and then I can react to that.
We come from world of business. Make a plan. Show me the business plan. then we'll leave our jobs. Yeah. Then we'll risk our capital. Then we'll go without salaries to try this crazy venture. You don't jump off the cliff without knowing what's down there.
Yes. So I am learning a lot what that means, and I'm learning a lot how that works.
Yeah. I don't think most Americans can grasp that. I can't. So maybe I'm speaking for me. I have taken risks, but I always thought I didn't always really understand the risk I was taking, but I thought I did. And I thought I was being safe and I thought I was doing all this. And as I think somebody once said, maybe it was, I don't know who it was, but said, life is what happens when you make other plans. I've made a plan to go this way. And God says, well, that's great, but here's where life's going to take you over here instead. Yeah. It's almost.
But there is a verse for that. A man devises his own ways, but it is the Lord that will direct his path. I have come to fully understand what that means. now that I'm outside of the world of sales.
And outside a comfort zone. You understood that. You were good at it. We all want to stay in our lane, in our comfort zone. I don't want anything to change. I got this figured out. And that seems to be when change goes, boom, try this.
That's correct.
And to take a leap of faith like that, we call it a leap of faith. Sometimes it's a kick of faith. You know, in your case, it wasn't so much a leap as a push, but you find yourself falling, fumbling, wondering, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a branch. I'll grab onto it. Let's see what this looks like. And all of a sudden, it leads to a tree. And all of a sudden, it leads to fruit. All of a sudden, it leads to something you hadn't even looked at or wouldn't have looked at. I think that's kind of the way you guys seem to react to finding places. Albania, I'm still wrapping my head around, you know, Albania, Haiti, Vietnam, and a village on kilometer 33. What's the connection there? I'm looking for the logical path. I'm trying to decide, you know, what the, and you're like, oh, this one? Okay, let's go look at this one. Oh, let's go look over here. That seems to be the opposite of way most of us try to live our lives here.
Well, I tell you what, it is such a comforting feeling to know that you have an organization like Tung Ao working hand in hand with you, and also fully aware that every step that you take is ordered by God. And what do I mean by that?
Wow.
A sense of peace in every approach that you make. That's one of the driving forces in anything that I do. How am I feeling? Am I feeling anxiety? Am I feeling a peace that passes all understanding?
And yet, not to get to, this is about health, ostensibly. So you're going and looking after the health of others. I got to wonder whether the health of this country, sometimes we're all on Prozac. We're all on anxiety medications here. Anxiety, tension seems to run through our whole society here. And yet we're always looking for peace and contentment. And yet we're always racing, running, worried, going from one, we're just reacting to one crisis after another here. I don't know that we have that sense of peace and purpose.
It's very difficult too, Paul, because it is like describing a glass of water. When you think about the political parties and the people that follow each, it's like describing a glass of water. One sees the glass half empty and the other sees it half full. Our ideologies, our political affiliations have never, particularly more so now than ever.
Never in my lifetime, not since maybe the tension of the 60s, it reminds me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is not working to unify, but it's actually working to destroy. And it's like, what can I up on you, or what can you up on me, instead of
what can we do together? Yeah,
America first.
Yeah, or our community first, or ourselves
first.
Yeah, right. I sometimes wonder why we focus on what divides us. It's easy to find what divides us. We're a country that was just a group of lost immigrants from all over the world, and we came here searching for something. And now we're different colors, different tribes, different religions, everything all trying to get along. And the promise of America was that it, you know, individualism, freedom, you could find and do whatever you wanted to do. And so we focus on that individualism so much that sometimes I think we forget of community. We don't think of others. I don't care what's in it for me. What do I get? How do I benefit here?
And that's why I love being a part of Tung Ao, because it's never been about Tung Ao. It's been about the interests of those who they serve, putting those recipients first in every heart, in every soul, in every mind of every professional. It's never been about them. And the same it is about God. It's never been about a religious organization. It's never been about a location. It's been about a people. And we have lost those two essentials.
Because we've gone from people to person. We've gone from thinking of us as a group. We start by thinking of one, me. What's in it for me? People ask me all the time, I'm a good Irish Catholic, and people say, why do you still continue the faith? All the problems in the church. We could talk endlessly about Catholicism and the Catholic Church and everything. I get it. I got no explanation for the insanity that goes on within the organization sometimes. But whatever you, for me, it's the faith of my fathers, and it's the continuation of a story that took off a long time ago. And I believe in the fundamental message. But what keeps me coming there is it forces me to think of somebody other than me once a week. I am an only child, a sole proprietor, a solopreneur. You know, it's easy to get focused on me, me, me. I have one child. Everything seems to operate in ones in my life here. And sometimes I need to think of it as more than one. I think need to think of the many, even if it's not convenient, even if it's not immediately apparent that I get anything out of this. Somehow I need to think of others once in a while. I believe in that. And that's what keeps me going when the mass is boring, when the priest is moaning, when I wonder, the child is crying next to me, and I wonder, why am I here? I say, because you're forcing yourself to be in a community in the midst of others, to listen to a message that's all about, not about you, but about serving others. And I don't get that message the rest of my week.
Yeah.
So I think this is for you. It's that going out there. I'm sure there are times you're on the road and you're saying, what the heck am I doing here? I could be home. This is cold. This is scary. They're being nasty to me here. Why? I don't need this. I don't need to put up with this. Why? I'm just going home. And there's something that keeps you going there. I remember we had Jerry Husson on.
Yes. Yes.
And he was talking about, he says, sometimes I'm driving down the road and I go, I am tired. I'm hungry. I got to get somewhere. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus takes the wheel and turns it. And I go, I don't have time for this. I don't want to do this. They don't want me here. Why am I here? And he's like, All right. I'm sorry. What do we need here? And he pulls into a group of migrant workers or some other crazy thing that he hadn't thought of that day here. Or you're in Albania and you're going, I don't know how I'm here or why I'm here, but okay. All right. Albania. Good. What do we need? And you start looking around. All right. How about this? How can I help?
I know that feel very well where Jerry is serving. As a matter of fact, Jerry and I have collaborated together, 7-Day Heroes. We have gone together to Lebanon. We have gone together to Iraq. What a great guy Jerry is, isn't he?
He is. And I'm reminded of him when I look at you or Dr. Trent. And the question I ask on all these shows is, why? Why? What? Where? When? Why? And you guys go, and you fumble along, and well, you know, somebody called us, and somebody met us, and there was something here. God took me here. Whatever. And you're like, get off of that question. That's the only question I can think of. What? Why? Where? When? How? Who? And you're like, oh, why are you asking all these, like, reporter questions here? We're here. There's a need. Stick your tongue out, and let's see what we can do.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what the key about getting that done is, the more you mull over it, the more you say no, just like what Jerry was talking about. Yeah. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I want to get home. I want to take a shower. And you get diverted. You don't want to get diverted. But the minute you begin to think about, I'm hungry, I want to get home, I want to take a shower, I want to debrief, I want to go to bed, all of those factors will outweigh the obedience of, okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do that. Right. So I think the key for us is we don't want to think about it. We just want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a question of, is it me or we? Or in your case, the, you know, I'm listening. I don't want to, but I really, you know, can't you take this cup from me? Do I really have to go through this whole thing? The night of the crucifixion, even Jesus got down and said, you know, your will be done, but please, can't we talk about this one more time?
and by the way, Paul, that wasn't easy, okay? because the scripture teaches us that he was sweating blood.
Yeah.
So making that choice was not easy.
Because unlike you or me, he knew what was coming next. We fear what was coming next. He knew it. It was about as bad as it could be. The most hideous way that humans have ever come up to kill one another. We're going to hang you on the cross and let you suffocate to death.
Oh, yes.
All right. So all of this leads me to the question that always ends these shows. I'm not brave enough. I'm a little kid. I'm still scared. I'm still saying, what time are we getting there? Are we there yet? I don't know. I got to go to the bathroom. I got a million excuses. So maybe it's for some of us scared little kids who haven't woken up yet. How can we help you in your journey? Is it writing you a check? Is it going on a journey with you? Is it doing, what baby steps can we kids take to join the adults in the room here? What can we do to help?
It is just like what Jerry said. We don't want to, I can only speak for myself, Paul. There is a verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I like to kind of play with that lean not, meaning don't analyze this and don't analyze that. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. This is what I believe. If God is calling me to go somewhere, he is going to also not only equip me, but also provide the resources necessary for me to get there. So I don't do any fundraiser, just like what Jerry said. We just rely upon God doing it for us. And I'll tell you why, Paul. He does a better job than we do.
But Lewis, you took a company from $3 million to $7 million. There must have been a lot of planning and analysis and data to get there. You didn't just say, well, let's just go out and sell today. You had a plan and you analyzed it to death. And you squeeze the margin bigger and you increase the bottom line. You know more than most of us how to analyze. And you're saying, I just let it go.
Yes, indeed. And I'll tell you what, all of those techniques were essential in that arena. However, in this one, God does a better job than I do.
Well, maybe he always did, but we just don't see it or don't believe it. Or don't accept it or whatever it is. How do we help and support you? Is there a site? Is there a place?
Prayer is key. Prayer is key. That he will not only equip us, empower us, and favor us with people of Albania, but that he will also provide the resources for us to bless the people of Albania. We just don't want to go to take, but we want to go to give. Give in action, give indeed as well. So if anybody wants to support Tongue Out organization, you know.
Or learn more about it or anything, is there a website? Where do we go?
Just do it through Tongue Out, tongueout.org.
And is there a website there? I've never actually looked.
Yes, there is. There is a website and there is a donation key that they can.
Because we all, the journey of 1,000 miles, as the Chinese say, starts with a single step. Sometimes you need to just take a step.
Yes.
To write a check, to click on a link, to think about something, to open your mind to something, to say a prayer about something. So there's something tangible that you got to do. Otherwise, this podcast will go, oh, that was great. I wish I could be like Lewis. I hope they help.
Totally agree.
And we forget all about it here. We've got to, you got to take action, I believe, even if it's just clicking on a site and looking.
Yep, that is correct.
All right. So
it's all about love in action. And that's part of love in action.
And that's what you guys are doing. You could think about it. You could debate it. Do we have enough supplies? Do we have the right distribution? Do we have the right partners? Let's just go start doing it. Let's just show up.
And by the way, this goes, all of your funding goes towards buying medical supplies.
It doesn't have 47 administrative layers to go back into fundraising.
Oh, medical supplies.
All right. Well, good. I'm always looking for some action step at the end of these shows here. And it doesn't have to be write a check. You could say a prayer. It could be check it out. Come that with us. Whatever it is. Think of us. Pray for us. But don't forget us.
Amen.
Don't just hear it and leave. All right. Well, we're going to hear it and leave, unfortunately, because we got to go. But I appreciate all that you do and Dr. Trin does. And I'm always going to keep asking, wondering the question, what, where, why, who, how? And you're going to go, Paul, I don't know why. You're not listening, brother. You're just not listening here.
Well, you're probably going to hear me a few more times. We got a Mexico trip coming up. We got Israel trip coming up.
We'll discuss those.
I will be back.
All right. And I hope you will come back after Albania and tell us, what did you see on the ground?
That's what I will.
That's the challenge we gave Jerry. Don't just tell me about it. Come back and give me some stories. Stories to me are the coin of the realm. That's the currency I live in. You can tell me the facts. You can tell me the figures and the need. But until you put a human face to it, now I get it. Wow. Okay.
Totally agree.
All right. Well, we'll see you then when you come back from Albania. Godspeed. Good luck. And we look forward to hearing more.
Thank you, Paul. God bless. Take care.
Okay. Well, there you have it. I don't know how it all ties together, but somehow it does, and only Dr. Trinh knows, as he talks about the health of the world, the health of humans. And just do it. Just tune in each and every week. You never know what you're going to hear here on Health Talks with Dr. Trinh.